Our title tonight is Prayers That Open the Doors of Heaven, Part 2. Let's pray for the word tonight. God, we ask that you would come and speak. Lord, I pray that every ear would be opened and every heart would be ready to receive what it is that you want to speak into our lives. God, we desire to go deeper in the word, to receive the spiritual key of knowledge and understanding that you have given to us in your word. So I ask for a blessing. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and breathe afresh upon these scriptures tonight. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the passage found in Matthew chapter 16. And how it relates to our prayer lives, how we can pray in a specific manner that the doors of heaven would be opened over us. Let's look at this together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." God is showing his desire through this passage here to give his people keys of blessing and spiritual life that would propel his kingdom forward. And in verse 19, Jesus tells his disciples that he would give him the keys of the kingdom, that it would open up the doors of heaven over their lives, and that it would advance the kingdom of God powerfully through them. In the natural, keys are used to open doors. Without them, we are locked out. It is the same in the spiritual. There are spiritual keys that we must use to unlock the blessing of the Lord, to unlock the spiritual victory in our lives. The avenue of prayer is what causes these keys to be used effectively and for the doors of heaven to be opened over us. Right after Jesus teaches on the importance of us possessing these spiritual keys, he ties in the aspect of binding and loosing on earth and heaven. The binding and loosing are our prayers whereby God releases his will on earth. Jesus connects our prayers of binding and loosing with the spiritual keys of the kingdom of heaven because he understands, he knows that there are hindrances that are working against the kingdom of God being advanced in a powerful and in a great measure. In Luke 11, 52, Jesus gave a severe warning to the religious leaders, saying, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." There is an important key of spiritual knowledge that God wants us to possess. And according to our passage in Matthew 16, prayer is part of this key of knowledge. It is one of the greatest avenues by which the doors of heaven are opened over us, whereby the power of God is released into our lives. Isaiah 5, 13, it says that God's people entered into captivity because they had no knowledge. There is a spiritual dryness. There is a captivity, church, that we must guard our lives against. We must obtain the spiritual key of knowledge, and we must use it properly. The key of spiritual knowledge is in the Word of God, and we must combine our prayers with the truths of God's Word. We must recognize the hindrances, both in the natural and in the supernatural. We must pray against these, and we must pray that the power of God would be loosed over situations. May we be encouraged tonight to strengthen our weapon of prayer as we combine it with the key of knowledge, the Word of God. We must not. This is not the time to shrink back from praying fervently for God's kingdom and for His will. The enemy will distract us. The enemy will tempt us. The enemy will seek to keep the knowledge of the urgency of our prayers that is required from us. I am so thankful for our prayer services, for the faithfulness of the saints of this house. But church, can we be encouraged and challenged tonight to sharpen this weapon of prayer even more so than it already is? In the last message, our first point was this. I just want to recap quickly. Our prayers must reflect our revelation of who Christ is. In our passage, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they responded by saying, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah or one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded by saying, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And this signified Peter's submission to Jesus as being Lord over his life. And Jesus commended Peter because God had given to Peter the full revelation of who Jesus was and his power. And Jesus asks the same question of every single one of us. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" This might be an obvious answer tonight, but the truth according to the Word of God is this, that if we truly believe what the Scriptures say, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he really did come to save us, to set us free from every chain, that he really has the power to be our refuge, to be our banner, to be our peace, to be our provider in every area. If we truly believe what the Word of God says, that Jesus is able to save, to set free, and to perform miracles, then our prayers should reflect a level of faith and expectancy according to the power and the authority of who Jesus is. The second point was how our prayers must bind the spiritual powers of darkness. When Jesus was pleased with Peter's response, showing his submission to Christ, he then promised Peter that he would be given the keys to the kingdom. And right after this, he teaches on the aspect of prayer, of binding and loosing. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There are areas in our lives that we will need to lock up, that we will need to bind. The sinful nature and the attacks of the enemy, they are clear to us in Scripture. Pride, jealousy, disunity, a temptation towards ungodly living, ungodly entertainments. We must pray that the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, would help us to bind up these sinful attitudes, these ways of life, the pride of life, and the workings of Satan, so that they do not hinder the work of God in his church, in his kingdom. Our prayers must always be in a manner of complete submission, giving glory to the Lord at all times. Leonard Ravenhill said this, "Prayer is not a preparation for the battle. It is the battle." How many have ever experienced that in your life? A battle for your prayer life. There is a genuine sincerity towards prayer, towards wanting to pray, and you feel this urgency of the Holy Spirit, but then distractions come in, and doubt comes in, perhaps a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. Well, what am I supposed to pray for? How am I supposed to pray? The enemy is working overtime to keep you silent. He is working against our prayer lives, and it is a very real battle and a warfare over our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks about prayer, about how prayer is our weapon against the flesh and against Satan. And church, the weapon of prayer, it is not a silent prayer a day to keep the devil away. The weapon of prayer is not a quick prayer, but the weapon of prayer, it is strategic and it is intentional. I want to continue on tonight with just one more point and finish this theme in a few weeks. It's turned into a three-part series, but I really believe that the Lord wants us to spend some time on this third point tonight. Number three is our prayers must loose the word of the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There are areas that the Holy Spirit is saying, who has ears to hear what the Spirit would be saying about the areas that need to be loosed or unlocked in our lives. We may need a deeper understanding of the Word of God to be able to loose His peace, to be able to loose His wisdom, to be able to lose breakthrough in a certain attitude, or perhaps even in the level of our prayer lives. When we bind negative attitudes and negative spirits that are hindering us, it does not mean that the loosing is automatically released. These are two separate actions. The binding and the loosing are two separate prayers. We can bind anger and pride, but we still must put on and we still must loose love and humility. One of the aspects of the weapon of our prayers being effective, of God loosing His power, is our obedience to godly living. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. The weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And then listen to what it says. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. We are told here that obedience is a big part of the releasing, of the loosing of the Spirit of God. Our godly living, it adds power to our spiritual weapons. One of the other greatest aspects of our prayers being powerful is praying specific scriptures, is praying the Word of God. The Word of God, amongst many other things, has been given to us as a weapon of war. It contains the keys of spiritual knowledge, which brings understanding regarding the power of our obedience, regarding the necessity and the protection that comes from living lives of godliness and separation and holiness unto the Lord. It brings understanding to the areas of prayer and praise that are meant to be used as weapons, amongst other things. If prayer is one of the greatest avenues by which the Lord releases His power, by which the Lord releases His will on earth, then one of the greatest prayers we can pray is the Word of God, is the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the Word of God is alive and active. It is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is ready to produce life in our situations. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says that we must be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Ephesians 6, 13, it goes on to say that we must put on the full armor of God, for when the day of evil comes, how many know that the day of evil is at our doorstep? The day of evil has come, church. We are surrounded by such godlessness. We are surrounded by people who are serving their own desires and their own agendas, who have turned away from God, who have turned away from His commands and from the building up and the strengthening of His church, from the areas that God is so passionate about. But this verse says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand firm, steadfast, immovable, with every piece of armor and every piece of weapon at your disposal, ready to bind and ready to loose according to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 outlines the armor of God that we are to put on and the weapons that we are to use. And one of these weapons is the sword. It is the Word of God. And then it ends by saying this, that after we have put on all of our armor, and after we have taken up our weapons and we have sharpened them, we then must pray in the Spirit at all times. It is significant, church, that God connects our armor with the weapon of prayer. He says this because when we combine our prayers with the breastplate of righteousness, when we combine our prayers with godly living, when we combine our prayers with the belt of truth fitted securely around our waist, when we combine our prayers by picking up the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, there is power. We will be ready to stand and be able to overcome every attack of the flesh and every attack of Satan that comes against our lives. The doors of heaven open as we are obedient in our godly living, as we prophesy and pray that God would loose His word. The Word of God is a weapon that has been given to us that we must sharpen, that we must prophesy, and that we must use in our prayers. May we pray tonight for the mercy of God to be released, that a hunger would come, that the people would fall to their knees in repentance before God. May we pray tonight that God would lay His Spirit so heavily upon us that we would desire to feel what He feels when it comes to the state of the broken and the lost world. I really felt strongly about this particular point in this message, that we pray for His mercy, that He would loose the truth and the power of His Word over situations. I want to take a few moments and remind us of some scriptures to pray that the Lord would loose into our lives. I'm putting a disclaimer on it, and I'm just going to tell you up front that there's a lot of scriptures. But church, I just pray tonight that we would be encouraged and we would be challenged to pick up our Word afresh in our prayers. So when we pray for our workplace, we must read these verses, Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Lord, we bind anything that is hindering your presence from flowing into our workplaces. We ask, according to this word, that you would loose your glory and your beauty, that your plans would be established for every place of business, for every place that you have set us tonight in the name of Jesus. When we pray for our children, let's read these passages out loud. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 12. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. Galatians 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Lord, according to your word, we are training our children in your ways, O Lord. Would you bind every enemy of their flesh? Would you bind every attack from Satan that would desire to keep them off the path that you would have for their lives, O Lord? Would you loose the spiritual knowledge and the hunger that they would be as plants grown up in the house of God, that they would be as pillars grown up in the house of God, that your church would be strengthened through our sons and our daughters? Lord, we ask that you would loose the power of your Spirit, that they would keep in step with you every day of their life. Lord, would you train their hands for war? Train their fingers for your battle. This is your will, O God. And we ask for your mercy to loose the truths of these scriptures over every single son and daughter in this house in the name of Jesus. When we pray for our homes, let us read these scriptures aloud. Psalm 147, 13 to 14. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest of wheat. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Lord, we bind every weak area within our homes. We bind every argument and every spirit of division right now in the name of Jesus. Would you loose your peace within our borders? Would you guard our homes? Would you loose your wisdom, understanding and knowledge of your word into every family member, so that the rooms and the hearts of our homes are filled with your precious and pleasant riches according to your word. When we pray for the salvation of the Lord, we prophesy these verses. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isaiah 60, verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Isaiah 62, 1 and 6 to 7. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet until her vindication shines out like the dawn, until her salvation comes like a blazing torch. God, your salvation is your will according to your word. And we ask that you would bind every apathetic and hardened heart in the name of Jesus. We are asking for your mercy, that you would loose salvation upon our walls, that you would loose praise upon the gates of every home. We will not remain quiet until your salvation shines forth like a blazing torch. According to your word, O God, would you bind the spiritual powers of darkness and loose your salvation for the glory of your name alone, we ask. We desperately cry out for the Lord's salvation according to his word. When we pray for protection and the refuge of God to hide us and our loved ones from our enemies, go to Psalm 91 amongst many other passages, but Psalm 91 and begin to speak the entire chapter over your loved ones. When we pray for wisdom, we speak these verses. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, 5, and 9 to 11. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Lord, binds any desire within us to gain wisdom from the ungodly sources that contradict the truth and the wisdom that is found in your word alone. You said that if we need wisdom, all we need to do is ask for it. Would you loose your wisdom, the spiritual keys of knowledge, for every situation that we are in tonight in the name of Jesus. When we pray for the spiritual dry bones to come alive, listen, there are many people who are in valleys. There are many people who are spiritually dead, who are spiritually dry. They need people to stand in the gap for them. They need a church. They need a vast army to arise, to believe that the Lord can breathe the breath of his spirit upon them again. According to his word, we were commanded to prophesy as Ezekiel did. Chapter 37, verses 4, 6, and 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. Lord, our hearts break for the spiritual climate of our city, for the spiritual climate of our nation. We are asking, according to your word, would you bind every spiritually dry soul? Would you bind every apathetic and weak spirit? And we prophesy a loosing of the fire and the passion of God to be breathed into every believer. Loose the spiritual awakening upon your children, O God, that a vast army would arise in the name of Jesus. Just a couple more. When we earnestly ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to consume every heart in the house of God, every heart in our homes, that the utterance of his Spirit, that the gifts of his Spirit would flow to build his house, we pray these verses, Joel 2, 28 to 29. Luke 11, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Acts 8, 19, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Jude 1, verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, Lord, bind the areas that hold us back from living in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Bind them, we pray. And by your mercy and according to your will and to your word, would you loose a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit presence? Would you loose a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit gifts, of your Holy Spirit utterance within our families and within our churches? Amen and amen. Let's have the worship team come as we close with these final two. We must pray, church, for a spirit of holiness to be released. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Lord, we need the ungodliness to be bound up within your people, the unholy desires to be locked up. You said that whatever we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven, so we are asking that you would loose Holy Spirit conviction upon all of our lives to turn from evil, to turn from compromises, loose the holy desire to raise the standard in every area of our lives. We ask tonight in the name of Jesus. And our final one is this. When we pray for the worship warfare to be released upon the people of God, we pray this word. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. God, we are in desperate need for praise and worship weapons to be released in a greater measure within your church. Please, according to your word, would you bind every inhibition? Would you bind every fear of man? Would you bind every part of us that hinders the hands being raised, that hinders the voices being heard? Would you bind anything that hinders your people from rejoicing and praising at their highest level? And according to this word, would you loose the high praises into every mouth? Let every hand be raised high according to your word. Let the dance of the Lord be within our feet. Let honor and glory pour forth in a greater measure through our praise and worship unto your name alone, we pray. Church, may our prayers asking for the loosing of the word of God over situations increase in our lives. I know that was a lot of scriptures to give you in one message. And we barely scratched the surface of the verses of the word of God that is alive, that is ready to act on our behalf. I pray we would sharpen the weapon of our prayer with our sword. May we be stirred and challenged that the word of the Lord, do you have your Bibles tonight? That the word of the Lord should always be in our hands. It should always be in our hearts, should always be in our mouths. As we speak to one another, as we bless one another, as we build one another up in their most holy faith, and the word of God should especially be in our mouths when we pray. When God's word is spoken and prophesied, the doors of heaven are opened. We do not always know what the will of the Lord is for situations. There is a sovereignty of God that we do not know. We are not called to know, to understand his will. But we are called to pray according to our revelation of who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually is. We are called to pray in faith, knowing that he can, knowing that he desires to, knowing that it is according to his word. We are called to pray more fervently, more desperately, more urgently in our lives. There are areas that we for sure need to increase our prayers in, all of us. May we rise up in the revelation of who Christ is to us. May we bind the fear and loose spiritual courage into the hearts of the people around us. We ask the Lord to bind unbelief and to loose believing spirits. We ask the Lord to loose deeper intercessions upon his people. And we ask the Lord to cause his kingdom to come and his will to be done through our holiness, through our obedience, through our spiritual weapons on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's stand together. Are you thankful tonight that God's word is alive? What a precious gift the Lord has given to us, a gift full of treasures, full of wisdom and insight, full of comfort, full of strength, and full of peace. Let's take a moment and close ourselves in with the Lord as we pray together. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us the keys to your kingdom advancing. We receive the call from your word tonight regarding our prayers that open the doors of heaven over us. Cause us to pray according to who the power of Christ is. I pray tonight that you would cause every person in this place to pray, that we would bind the powers of darkness and cause our prayers to loose the word of the Lord over our lives. Only by your mercy, only by your grace, and only by your authority do we pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you in this moment. Stir us to pray your word in a greater measure, we ask. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. We praise you and thank you that the doors of heaven are opened over our prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, let's take a moment. Let's worship our God.